I think there are some people in the church that give because their pastor told them to give. Don't be generous because your pastor ordered you to do it. But I think the opposite is true as well. There are a lot of people who are like, I don't like what's going on in the church, and I'm just going to like keep my money from them. It's like, oh, but you've missed the grace of God.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Michael Broads, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast.
Morning, Michael.
We're here to talk about yesterday morning and the time that we spent in 2 Corinthians 8, 8 through 15. Michael, you opened up that text for us, and some of your main points, main idea was get rich by the grace of Jesus, act rich by giving to his people. And then you kind of broke that down and talked about ways that we act rich include giving completely, proportionally, and selflessly. I'm enjoying walking through. I think we've got, is it four or five more weeks? Four more that are really focused in this section in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and the focus of the generosity and this act of grace that Paul is calling the Corinthian church and believers to. So, Michael, yesterday, I'm sure you had more that you want to include. If you had more time or wanted to expand on your message or have a part two, what would have been some things that you would
part
have
two? You're ready for an hour-long podcast?
Let's do it. Let's go.
I definitely cut out a lot while I was studying, so it wasn't an hour-long sermon yesterday. But I think probably the thing that this might be kind of like funny, but like at the beginning of it when Paul says, hey, I'm not writing this as a command. I think there are some people in the church that give because their pastor told them to give.
Sure.
And he's saying like, no, that's not why you should be motivated and have a desire to give. And I think because that's just a really surface level motivation. But don't be generous because your pastor ordered you to do it.
Yeah.
But I think the opposite is true as well. Don't withhold your generosity because you don't like your pastor, because you're frustrated with the church. And so because giving is not about you, and giving is not about the pastor commanding you to do it. This is God's word to say, hey, give this way. And so I think there are a lot of people who are like, I don't like what's going on in the church, and I'm just going to like keep my money from them. It's like, oh, but you've missed the grace of God.
Yeah.
And you've missed what God's done in your life. And that's the ultimate motivation to give. And so
that's not a giving issue. That's a conflict issue. And
totally.
You need to deal with that.
Correct. Like, correct.
You've got some family talk to go have.
Yeah.
Go address it.
Absolutely. And even on the other side, it would be like, oh, well, I love the Veritas staff. They're so whatever, like great, or I don't know what people would describe us as. Maybe great, maybe not. But we don't want you to give because you like staff members. We want you to live because you've experienced the grace of God.
Yeah.
Or live. We want you to give because you
keep doing that.
Yeah,
keep doing that. Yes. Be intentional. Oh man, no, it's good.
I don't know that any of that just made sense. Maybe
no,
it did.
No, that's sweet. I think it's just a heart check too, where it's like you go to the root and it's like, what is the intentionality behind generosity? It shouldn't be superficial or like based on individuals. Like our giving is primarily to the Lord. I think that goes back to Jake's message last week.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is really this intentionality where it is all. I mean. It is a direct connection. We are giving ourselves to the Lord because he has gave himself to us. Like we would be – that would be an inappropriate response to withhold ourselves completely from him if we are truly in Christ. Absolutely. Anything else there?
No. That's
sweet.
It.
So second question here. What are some practical ways that we can remind ourselves every day of the grace of God?
Sure. Yeah. Philippians 4 talks about God supplying all your needs.
Yep.
And so I just think as you consider all the needs that you have in your life, and then you see them met on a regular basis, just be grateful.
Yeah.
Like gratitude's kind of going to fuel grace.
Sure.
And so as you go throughout the day, and you normally might say, like, well, thank you, God, for waking me up. That's God's grace that he gave you breath in your lungs again today.
And if you can't find things to thank God for, you got to check your heart.
Sure.
You're not understanding how much grace God is supplying.
Totally, totally. You mentioned this before we even got on to this, but just when your paycheck hits your bank account, like don't just be like, oh, yeah, I worked hard for that. I'm so thankful that's there. But man, God, thank you for the grace that I have, that I have a paycheck, I have a job.
Yeah.
People often say like, okay, we're going to say grace before a meal. I think that's a wonderful thing. It's like, God, thank you that you were gracious enough to put food on our mm-hmm. table tonight. And mm-hmm. we're recognizing that the meal we have is from you. It's not because, again, we worked hard for it, but you were gracious enough to allow us to have that tonight or yeah. this morning. One other thing, just practical for our family. When I sing to our kids before bed, I usually read a book, read a Bible story, and then sing. And depending on which kid, I have to sing more or less songs. Some are like, Dad, stop. Others are like, keep singing, Dad, because they just want to stay up.
Yeah.
But the first song I always sing is Amazing Grace.
Sweet.
Because I want to remind myself and I want to remind my kids of, oh, this day that we just had was just by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. My salvation is by the grace of God, and it truly is amazing.
Yeah, that's sweet. Third question here, Michael. You said we can act rich in this text and kind of drew out completely, proportionally, and selflessly. Can you talk a little bit more about what that looks like and why this is included in this text?
That yeah, so I use that. I don't know. I probably didn't clarify this as well yesterday. The reason I said act rich, because if you remember from verses 1 through 7, I want you to participate in this act of grace. So, okay, grace is the thing that's going to get you rich, help you become rich, verse 9, but then drawing from verses 1 through 7, participate in this act of grace. So how do you act out this grace?
Yeah.
You act it out completely because they had desires a year before,
yep.
Hey, I want to do this, but now you got to finish it. So it's connected to, like, you got to complete what you said you were going to do. The proportionality aspect was give according to what you have. Like, you don't have to wait around to give. Like,
yeah.
You have opportunity to give now. And then the selfless portion was, hey, you got the reference to the Exodus, right, where they were hoarding food and it spoiled. So don't just be selfish savers. So I think, man, there's a lot that we could talk about, but guard against selfish living and selfish spending is probably the biggest thing there. And then consider, like, a proportion to give to the church, give to others in need. I think the tithe to, just from the Old Testament, it's like 10%, start with 10% to the church, mm-hmm. A proportion of your salary. And I don't know if I offended people or not, it's okay if I did, but just saying, like, some people gave $10,000 last year and others would look at that and say, oh, that's extravagant.
Yeah.
But I might look at that if I knew your bank account and say, that's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And so just consider what you have. Consider how you're living, the choices that you're making, the lifestyle choices that you're making, and figure out, like, can we cut so that we can give more? Should we cut even what we've saved
yeah.
so that we can give more?
Yeah. Before we got on, you had was that a C.S. Lewis quote?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to read that?
Sure. So I kind of gave litmus test kind of at the end of the sermon,
yeah.
and it really was drawn out from this quote that I read from C.S. Lewis, and it says, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditures on comforts, luxuries, and amusements is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, we are probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot do because our charitable expenditure excludes them.
Mm.
And, you know, we were talking earlier, Sam, of if we didn't give, our lifestyle could be very different.
Yeah.
I often look around like, how can people afford these houses or these cars or all this? And then I think, oh, we might be able to afford something different if we didn't give what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, like, but we give in proportion to what we have. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I think there was a connection group question that went over in the personalizing the text where kind of the main heart thrust is like, is there a, like, people that you would look around and be like, these are my peers. Is there a reality that there's the same, like, comforts, luxuries, and amusements that they are? Not saying, like, we should seek to, like, impoverish ourselves and, like, make a big show about it. But there are things that should be different. Like,
sure.
They shouldn't be the exact same of, like, because then what you're doing is you're saying, these are my means. I'm living up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what, like, the contentment of the gospel calls us to is to be content, live below your means, be sacrificial in your giving and be intentional with that. And I think even that C.S. Lewis quote you read kind of gets to the heart where we've talked in the past a lot about like the ordering and the priorities of how we handle finances, of like the categories of prioritizing give, then save, then live, mm-hmm. where our world would say, no, live, then save, then give, or save, then live, then give. And just this.
Which seems like the more honorable one, but it's not the biblical
right.
one.
Yeah. It's still, it's like, eh, actually, there's still a misordered priorities sure. here. So just that intentionality of living that out in a way that is prioritizing sacrificial giving mm-hmm. out of the act of grace in the gospel, where we get to participate in that yeah. and continue to trust the Lord with our finances.
Sure.
So
yeah.
That was sweet. I got to get back here. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Anything else? At final one there?
No.
Proportionally.
I'm completely if people just read verse 9 for a while, every day for a while, it would, that was probably what rocked me most in my study on it. But it was like, I know this.
Right.
But to remember the riches that Christ had, that he was willing to give up for our sake. Mm-hmm. It was just a sweet, sweet reminder to me. And my hope would be that it would be a great reminder to our church every day.
Yeah, absolutely. That verse, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. That's super yeah. sweet.
Because rich people, a lot of rich people give, but there's, I don't know any rich people who become poor so they could give. And sure. that's what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, oh, he's rich, he's going to give to us, yeah. but he became poor yeah. for our sake. Hmm. Just humbling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Michael, main idea yesterday, we've got a couple of listener questions. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. I had quite a few that came in yesterday. We got two that we're going to hit today, and we'll continue. We've got some more weeks that we'll touch on these. But again, you're just your big idea hammering home, that reminder that we get rich by the grace of Jesus, and we act rich by giving to his people.
Yep.
It was a great time in the Word yesterday. Appreciated that, Michael, and hope that this continues to bless our church, and we continue to get questions like this. So
sure.
first question, Michael, much of the message today, sent in yesterday, so much of the message focused on giving to believers in need. In our fallen world, there are people everywhere in need. How do we discern also giving to non-believers in need?
I think that's a great question, because there's absolutely need outside of yep. the family of faith. The New Testament prioritizes the family of faith, though.
Yeah.
And it does it over and over and over, and we can get to some of those verses in a second. But I think the first reason we even talked the way we're talking the last 2 weeks is because that's the text we're
right.
preaching. There's a collection yeah. for the saints in Jerusalem.
Yep.
And so we are simply trying to stick to the text and preach the text. But these are great questions, because people are going, yeah, I want to do that, but there are also people in need outside of the family of faith. And what I would just – I want to give you kind of three scriptures here that kind of speak to that. Matthew 25, 35 says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me." And so even Jesus saying that, like, oh, take care of brothers and sisters, the family yeah. of faith. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." So you get this priority again of brothers and sisters. Last verse, Galatians 6, which speaks more broadly. "And let us not grow weary in doing good." So that's just broad statement. And then it goes on to say, "For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone." So that's what we should not grow weary of doing good, and we should not grow weary of doing good to everyone. And then it clarifies it, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So, yes, we should take care of the poor that are outside of the family of faith, and we shouldn't grow weary in that. But there is a priority to take care of the family of faith.
Yeah.
So Galatians 6:10 is that.
Do you think some of that might come from like a misprioritization of like the evangelistic nature of sacrificial giving? Not to say that there isn't an intentionality there and that giving to the church doesn't fund ministry and sure. produce evangelistic opportunities, but is that maybe a misunderstanding where like if our giving isn't primarily evangelistic, then we're doing it wrong?
My hope would be that when the world looks at, wow, they take care of each other really well.
Yeah.
That puts the gospel on display so well.
They'll know we're Christians by our love. You look at Acts 2:42-47, there's an intentionality of caring for one another, selling and having need. And then at the very end, it's they had favor with all the people and the Lord added to their number day by
sure.
day. So it was their giving and sacrificing was for each other, but that did have effects outside of
sure.
there, but brought people to Christ.
So by no means would we say you shouldn't help people outside of the family of faith.
Right.
If somebody has a basic need that's not being met, my hope would be we would be a church that could – and I say a church, like the people of our church, not just from a corporate perspective, but the people in our church would respond to those needs. Say, oh, yeah, I've got the ability to do this. I have an abundance. I have a surplus because I've made lifestyle choices to allow me to have a surplus. Mm-hmm. I've made saving choices that allow me to have a surplus, and I'm not going to keep it for myself, but I'm going to help all these people. I would just say prioritize the family of faith.
Sure.
And I'm not even saying your local church necessarily. Above and beyond, you hear a brother and sister in need in the Middle East, man, they can't even have their basic needs met.
Sure.
By all means, give to that. Or, man, I heard of like these people in another country and they don't have clean water. My hope be that you would say, oh, I know how I can help and I know a trustworthy place that I can give and I'm going to do that. But just make sure we're taking care of the family of faith first.
Yeah. And I think we had mentioned, talked a little bit about this before we jumped on recording here, just that there's some of the cultural ties, like what we saw in the text where you kind of brought up that reality of like the giving was often public and tied to status, where there's almost this thought where like benevolent giving or like generosity outside the church to GoFundMe thing, like this person had a terrible tragic accident, you give to that, or all these different things where it's like that's almost seen in the positive light and really championed and celebrated. But then when giving within like a church context or within like Christian like opportunities, unless there's like a like, well, I get like a card and I know I'm sponsoring this kid, or like that
sure.
there's some more like hesitancy or tendency to be off put by that because it's not as apparent in what you're giving to.
Sure.
Or are you tracking with what I'm saying there?
Like, yeah,
it's almost like celebrated
Christian.
In one sense.
I think Christian giving because. I mean, Jake referenced the downside of this, but like, hey, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean we shouldn't have accountability. It means don't take pride in like you're not showing off your giving.
Right.
And so I think it would be amazing to know how much the church over the centuries has given that nobody has ever known about.
Right.
And we won't know about it.
Right.
Because they were following the word. Right.
Yeah.
I think when you give to outside organizations sometimes, look how much this person gave and put their name all over everything.
Right.
Like, that's not what we're going after.
Yeah.
God's after our hearts.
Yeah.
We don't need status. Again, I think I said something along yesterday. Our status is secure by grace. We don't have to find our security and our status from the world.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. All right. Second question here. This is going to be our last one for today, and we've got some more that we'll include in either next week or upcoming episodes. And again, we appreciate these. This is great.
Yeah.
I get a direct email whenever anybody fills out the form, and I get those, and then I forwarded them to you yesterday when I got them. And just that, like, I think just encourage that our church is thinking practically and critically and biblically about how what we're going through is applying and how to think and how to help others think and having good conversations there.
Sure.
Super encouraged by that. So here's this question. So just a focus on increasing giving and wanting to understand more of the ways that as a church that us as members can increase our support. So this,
we love those emails.
Yeah,
too.
This is great. You want to give more? We will help you. This will be great. But the question specifically, like, hey, we give online, and in the kind of our giving page and looking at what you can give to, we'd just love some more clarity about what is the general fund? What is benevolence? What is the vision fund? And there's SALT support options. What are those and recommendations you have on ways to give? And then said here, hearing more about these funds can help us in our church community. That would be encouraging.
Yeah. So if you go to veritaschurch.org/give and then /give-now, it takes you to like kind of where you can look at this. But yeah, there are a lot of options. We would always say if you would prioritize the general fund giving, that is by far the most helpful. The general fund is set – our ministry leaders, directors set their budgets for the year, but then the elders have to sign off on that.
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty it's not an easy time for our staff. Like they work hard to set their budgets like many of you do at home, many of you do at work. We do the same thing here, but the elders have to go through it and say, no, we're not going to spend our money that way. So when you give to the general fund –
and it's not just like a dollar fund. It's like a dollar amount. It's like, no, there are initiatives. There's like strategic planning. This is what – this is ideally what we'd like to do and why that matters. And then there's a cost associated with that. So it's more about actually vision setting and planning than it is about
– absolutely.
Numbers.
Yes. We're gonna say this is what we believe that the Lord is calling us to. Elders, do you affirm that?
Yeah.
But this is what we believe the Lord's calling us to. So now we've got to set our budget or set our calendar, but then how to figure out how to fund that.
Yeah.
So what do we need to cut?
Yeah.
What do we need to save differently? All that. So general fund is the best way to give because there's a budget set for it and the elders have said, this is how we would like to – this is what we believe the Lord is calling us to do for the year. On here, there's general fund Urbana simply because we have – two locations at the moment. Parking fund. That was something we did not budget for. Never thought we would need to budget for a parking fund, but we have. And so that helps us pay for the parking garage on a Sunday so that hopefully you don't get tickets.
But something like that in the future would get potentially included in the general fund. It's like this is a known expense.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how the elders have processed that, but I trust that they would do a phenomenal job with that. And it could be no, we don't know that this is going to be a long-term thing. We may continue to do this every year. I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Yeah.
Benevolence. So benevolence is when needs arise within our body, we want to be able to help meet those needs. If somebody loses a job and they need to pay for their water bill or something, we want to be able to help. Now, the way that we operate benevolence here is there's kind of three tiers, I would say.
Yep.
The first people that have access to benevolence are our church, our people within our congregation.
Yep.
And then – so we're going to prioritize our people like we said earlier from Galatians 6. The second tier would be people within our church or people outside of our church that our people are close with, that have a relationship with. So if my neighbor is going through a really hard time and I have a relationship with him, I could come to the church and say, this guy's going through a really hard time. We've helped them this way, but could the church pitch in some way? So we're helping our church first, people that we have relationships, our church has relationships with second. And then the third tier would be people that we don't know, and we have a way to funnel those people to some different organizations in our city that can help them better than even we could.
Yeah. And even within that, it's never just a, here's a financial need. Can we give to it?
Sure.
There's way more involved with how can we minister to you as a person? Like, yes, there's a financial need, but there's also spiritual stuff happening here. There's also other are there other ways that we can come alongside you and support you in this? It's not just a, hey, we're going to write a check and feel good about doing it.
Or we're just going to send you off to somebody else.
Right.
I've shared the gospel so many times by somebody walking in our church asking for money.
Yep.
Because we can't always help them with money, and we rarely – again, we have places to send those people that we don't know at all, and we can't check check out the legitimacy of their need, right. those kind of things. But I'm always sure to say, like, hey, even if we can't give you money, let me tell you about something that's greater than right. that. That's benevolence. Building remodel. I mean, that's pretty – I mean, you get it. We got to yep. pay for the building to be remodeled.
Yep.
So that's what that specifically is. The salt company. So the salt company operates much like kind of like a missions organization within our own church. We want to go after college students, and so they there's just additional funding that needs to come from that. Also included in that, if they are part of our staff with Salt Company, they raise a portion of their salary. So you will see Salt support for specific names, mm-hmm. and you can give specifically to their support. Now, we take care of them. They get insurance through us, all that kind of stuff, and we give a portion of their salary, but they raise a portion of their salary as well. So that's what those support numbers are.
And some of yep. that is tied to a little bit more of the philosophy of Salt Company in, like, it's more of ascending. Like, we're – a lot of times church planners come up through Salt Company. Sure. So there's like, hey, are you engaging people in the mission that God is calling you to here right now and potentially in the future?
Sure.
So there's, I think, some creative things there. We do – did we do a Salt Vision Banquet last year?
I'm not
I think
sure.
so. I okay. think we usually do
sure.
in the spring, and that's something that
I don't know if we did because I think the building was being remodeled. Or did they do it offsite or somewhere? I don't know. I was on sabbatical, so I missed it.
I can't. I'd have to look at my calendar. I feel like every year we have a sick kid or something happens.
Yeah.
But I think I'm pretty confident
sure.
we did. But that's something where it's not something that we're putting down. Like, there's a missional intentionality there, and
sure.
we are inviting people in our church to participate with that above and beyond general fund
sure.
and other giving there.
And I would say one thing that you don't see on this page is like missions
sure.
giving,
like yep.
local global missions, because in our general fund, we set aside money out of our general fund to go to future church planting opportunities here in the States and overseas. So we're setting aside, I would say it's a proportion of our budget in order for future church plants yeah. to support missionaries. And so that's already part yeah. of our general fund. So if you're wondering where that is, why can't I give to a
yeah.
specific – to global missions? Because you do that by giving to the general fund.
Right, yeah. And there's current support for current missionaries that we're connected to within there in our general fund, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
So there's – but even within that, usually – I mean, I can think of – there's a handful of – missionaries that we come alongside that we may support out of the general fund, but then depending on what organization or where they're located, there's a specific giving to them that they – it's not like they – people don't give to us and then we give to this other organization. It's there's a more direct and clear way
sure.
to partner with them in ministry
yep.
that we do through relationships.
Sure.
Yeah. The other one was Vision Fund. I think Vision Fund is typically a directed by the elders. So whether that's paying off debt or like church planting or, I mean, the building, it's kind of
sure.
a similar thing right now.
Yeah,
with debt associated with
I think
that.
Early on, even before I was here, Vision Fund was like, okay, we don't know what the Lord's going to do this year.
Right.
And so we're going to set some money aside to be able to respond to different needs that may arise.
Yeah.
Oh, we weren't aware that, I don't know what may come up, but that's what that Vision Fund is for. To just save up for a future opportunity where it's like, oh, something arose and we weren't expecting that in the past that has paid off some debt, that has gone to building remodel, that has gone to a lot of different things to support a church plant.
Probably some Urbana expenses.
Probably, yeah,
at some
totally.
Point in planting Urbana.
Yep.
But I liked what you said, just starting with that, prioritizing the general fund giving. The other thing too where it's like, if there's doubt or if you'd just like some more clarity on what we do, like every year at our members meeting, there's Austin, I think, over prints off like a detailed budget. It's like, come talk to me at Info Central. I've got
Austin
a ways to look at it.
Austin meets with
and
people.
And you can do that throughout
yeah,
the year.
Throughout yeah. the year. Like we'll go to lunch with somebody and
right.
say, yeah, let me walk through our budget with you. We're not
right.
trying to hide anything.
Yep.
We just say like, I don't know that everybody's wanting this all this information. So we're
right.
not putting it out there all the time. But we're not saying we wouldn't open up our books and show you what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's sweet. That's all we got time for. I don't even know how we're doing on time.
We're pretty long.
Oh, yeah. We're at 30 minutes. All right. We're going to wrap this up here. So great. Thanks. Church, let's continue. I think if we've got more questions, like, we love stuff like this. Keep sending these in. We've got a couple of these that we'll kick to the following weeks, and we'll discuss those. Just keep sending in questions. Super thankful that we have the opportunity to think about what God is doing, what God is calling us to in response to his faithfulness to us. Michael, I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to walk through 2 Corinthians yesterday, just in that time in the Word and being encouraged and convicted by God's Word. So thanks for opening up Scripture with
us.
Glad
to do it.
Love it. So church, let's remember, we get rich by the grace of Jesus and we act rich by giving to his people. And again, if you have questions you want us to address on the podcast, submit them through the form on the digital program or the weekly connection group email. And we will be looking forward to next week, where you can join us again for another episode Beyond the Message.